This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Six minutes after the hour, I want to give a shout out to this give a mention of something going on in conjunction with the Arc of Weld County. They've got their annual pool party coming up. It's a fan favorite, and it's for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Their families, staff, community members, and anyone who's ever attended in years past has loved it. It's just a laid back time to get together. It's at the Discovery Bay. There's a pool and all this stuff, water park. There's something for everyone there. And if you haven't been out there, you're missing out. You got to check it out. Join them to celebrate their 30th anniversary. That's the Arc of Weld County in promoting and protecting the human rights of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. July 23rd. That's Saturday, July 23rd from 6:30 to 8:30. There you go. Have a great summer. Kind of almost ending your July 23rd, anyway. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Trying to get Adam Mares on from DNVR Nuggets. So far, efforting. Have not. We'll try him again here in just a moment. But what kind of wanted to pick his brain, just as the dust has settled from that first wave or two of free agency and the NBA draft, where we sit with the Denver Nuggets at this point. You know, do we feel, you know, I asked Clark this yesterday. About the Avalanche trading for their new goalie, did they get better? Do we feel like the Nuggets got better at this stage? And you know, a somewhat different starting lineup with KCP rather than Will Barton. No Monte Morris. You know, going in, you did pick up Bruce Brown. You did pick up in the draft Christian Brown. So I mean, there's definitely some names here on this list where you look at it and say, all right, there's some pieces here you can work with. But that, I guess that's the question: is did they get better ultimately through the first wave or two of free agency, the draft, and via the trade side of things? Joining us now, VP of Creative Productions at DNVR Sports, putting together his DNVR Nuggets podcast, Adam Mares. Adam, my man, it's been a while. Thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Oh, you bet, man. I'm out here in Las Vegas for Summer League, and you're right, it has been a while, so I'm excited to talk the new-look Nuggets.
Yeah, this new-look Nuggets, and that's kind of what we've been dissecting or digesting over the last couple of weeks is, you know, whether or not this Nuggets team is better. Now, obviously, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., assuming they're healthy, that automatically makes this team better. But some of the pieces for this team that they've put together via the trade, free agency, and the draft, where are you at on this? Do you think the Nuggets right now, as it stands, are a better basketball team than say, a year ago?
I mean, there's no question that they are. I mean, even playing aside the Michael Porter and Jamal Murray part, if we just assumed, you know, we're factoring that in as a neutral, I think there's no question. And the reason is, if you look at what they've done with the roster in the Calvin Booth era, meaning this last month or so, they've lost some of their offensive players. I think, okay, they were sixth in offensive rating last year in the NBA, despite not having Jamal Murray and Michael Porter. Their offense is going to be fine. Bones Highland's only getting better. But they replaced those offensive players with not just good defensive players, but great defensive players in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Bruce Brown. And, oh, by the way, through a draft that added three prospects that may turn into some very good defensive players within a year or two. So to me, there's no question that the offensive part is a box that has been checked for several years, only continues to get better. And the defensive boxes now are starting to get checked in a way that we haven't seen in the Jokic era to date.
Well, and there's no doubt about it, especially that starting lineup. I mean, you look at that starting lineup, I think the trade-off from Will Barton to KCP, I mean, because Caldwell Pope can still score, too. So you just got a scorer that can guard as well. So like you said, that no problems there. I was a little shaky until we heard about Bruce Brown, and then I got pretty excited again. So we're talking about this, Adam. We've dubbed this the most important offseason in Nuggets history. And then you lose Tim Connelly right off the bat. That was tough. But so far, it does seem like Calvin Booth's got a plan here. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's just, you know, throwing things at the wall to see what sticks. There is a plan to add defense and toughness to this offensive unit.
And I think in an interesting way, almost a different plan. And I think a lot of the, you know, if Tim Connelly was still here, I think he would have probably been moving in somewhat the same direction. But I think there with Calvin Booth, we're seeing a real emphasis on that defensive end, you know, saying like, hey, I don't care about high upside guys as much as before, as maybe Tim Connelly did. I don't care about those things. I want guys that I know can go in a playoff series and guard some of the league's best players, because that's what this team needs in order to get to move forward. You know, over the last couple seasons, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, Jordan Poole, Donovan Mitchell, the best guards in the NBA have had their way with Denver in the playoffs. Whether Denver has won the series or not, they've had their way with them. And I think you look at that and say, to advance to the next level, if you look at the finals, the Warriors, the Celtics, the Miami Heat, these teams didn't have any defensive weaknesses. They had good defenders all around the court. And with the addition of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Aaron Gordon last season, Bruce Brown, and then Christian Brown, who they just drafted, Peyton Watson, these are guys that are, you look at it and say, in a playoff series now and going forward, Denver projects to have four, five, six guys that are all plus defenders on the court.
We're talking to Adam Mares of DNVR Nuggets, DNVR Sports. Okay, I got a sidestep here with you, Adam. The most important question of the day that you're ever going to hear. We got two Browns on the team, but the spelling is way different. What's going on? Yeah. We got Bruce Brown. Okay, that's typical. Christian Brown. We got Braun. A lot of confusion throughout Nuggets land.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of this Braun Brown. It's almost impossible to read it and think Brown.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I think it has a lot of people struggling right now with it. But all kidding aside, looking at him, you know, he seems like this. Obviously, the prospect or the idea of what he put together in college, scored all that stuff, but he has an attitude about him. He has a kind of a grittiness about him that we've always talked about maybe missing. You know, we saw a little bit of grittiness with Aaron Gordon more, got away from trying to be a finesse guy back in the paint. We need to see some of those guys. Some of those guys are not afraid to get in somebody's face, get a little nasty.
And stir the pot. I think Bones Highland has this, too.
I think so, too.
That, you know, like we've seen Joker. You know, guys don't mess with him because they know, like, if you mess with him, he'll mess with you back, right? I think, but there's a difference between that versus stirring the pot. And Bones Highland's a guy that if he makes a three-pointer in your face, he's going to let you know about it all the way down the court. Maybe he'll let you know about it a couple possessions in a row. He's going to stir the pot and try to get under your skin. Christian Brown takes that to a whole other level. He's a guy who, he lives under people's skin. You know, that's what he does. He gets into you. He starts talking trash. He screams. We saw the national title game. He's talking trash to the bench. And I don't think he's a dirty player or anything like that or you know, out of pocket. He's just a guy that immediately wants to elevate the stakes. And one of the things we've heard actually out of, you know, the summer league training camp this week is that he's been the guy that every drill you do, every scrimmage you do, he's elevating the stakes. He wants to win and he wants to let everybody know about it. And I do think Denver was missing some of that bravado.
Adam, I'm making this comparison to with Bones Highland. You mentioned it too with Brown and Highland. I didn't expect Bones Highland to be as big a piece as he was last year. Obviously, a lot of that was due to injury. You thought maybe Jamal was going. We all kind of thought maybe there was going to be a time when he would come back. But Bones Highland got so much great experience in the regular season and the postseason. Do you see that quickly happening for Christian Brown? I mean, do you see him working into this, working into getting some meaningful minutes as soon as we start the season?
I think, you know, talking to the front office over the last couple of weeks, they certainly see it. And I think they, you know, they've talked about it how in the past they've had a lot of young prospects and there's been a pecking order. When you get an expensive roster like Denver has, where you're paying max contracts to three players, you got Aaron Gordon on a big contract, you've got to find guys that are on low contracts. And one of the ways you do that is through rookies. So I think there is more of an opportunity for a player like Christian Brown. If I were to say, He's a third in the depth chart at two or three different positions, you know, the guard spots and the small forward spot. So I think he is a guy that is going to get his chance. And I know if the Nuggets look at him as a three-year player who was an NCAA champion, as a guy who should be more ready-made from day one than almost any other rookie that was in this draft. And that was part of the appeal for him, is he's a guy that doesn't need a long runway to get up to speed. So my answer is yes, I expect him to play, whether that's a little bit or a lot. That might be one of the swing factors in the Nuggets' success this season.
We're talking to VP of Creative Production at DNVR Sports, host of the DNVR Nuggets podcast, Adam Mares. And just looking, again, we talked about the starting unit. Good there. I'm excited about the prospect of Christian Brown. Looking at the bench, though, I think some Nuggets fans scratched their head a little bit. Some Nuggets fans wanted to see Boogie Cousins back in the fold here instead. The Nuggets go with DeAndre Jordan. I mean, 4 years ago, I would have been like, that's a steal. That's pretty awesome. But how do you feel about that?
You know, I don't like DeAndre Jordan, to be honest with you. I think I'm with you. I think 4 years ago was probably his last year, and he's kind of held on lately. You know, talking to some of the people again with the team, they don't view him as an every-night player. He's I think they're going to try to play small off of the bench more often than not and then have him as an option when they need him. I know one of the big appeals for him and one of the reasons he keeps getting contracts in the NBA, and obviously this season with the Nuggets, one, it's a minimum contract, and I would not be surprised if it doesn't work out, Denver buys him out. And adds another piece, the cheap enough contract they can do that. But number two, he is maybe the most beloved teammate in all of the NBA. And I think it was a large part of when Denver said, hey, we're ready to win a title. We need to add guys in Ish Smith, Bruce Brown, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, DeAndre Jordan, guys who have been on championship teams and who understand what it's like, you know, as mentors, getting everybody ready, making sure the young guys are up early and doing their work. And I think DeAndre Jordan, that'll be his primary role this season, not even as backup center, but as number one sort of leader, veteran leader.
When you with Boogie Cousins, I mean, am I just reading rumor stuff here? Is Boogie, like, wanting to be a starter? Is he wanting to get a lot more minutes? Because you knew that wasn't going to happen with him for the Nuggets. He's basically a guy that would have come in and just to let Joker get a rest. So, I mean, did that factor into, I know money was a big deal too, but did Boogie want a lot more minutes than the Nuggets were willing to give him?
I don't even know if it's so much the more minutes, the role. I mean, those things are important, and I think anybody that watched him last year, he's probably a top 15 center in the NBA. He deserves it. But why is a guy with his talent not getting on rosters?
Right.
Why did he bounce? Why did Milwaukee, who's a title contender, have him on a 10-day and had the ability to sign him and instead waived him last year before Denver picked him up? And, of course, Denver gets him. He makes a huge impact.
Sure.
But then he's not brought back this year. I think there's a reason for it. He's not on a roster right now. And I kind of think that he might be a guy that a team takes a flyer on in February the way Denver does, but he might only have a shelf life on a team for 3 months, as he did with Denver. And I don't think that's necessarily about health or money or role. I think it might just be more about the difficult personality that he is. And even though he knows he's on his last legs, still a guy that I think is difficult to bring into your locker room.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Adam, you said you're live from Vegas. The Nuggets getting at it tonight. This is their first summer game, right, against the Timberwolves.
Yep.
Are we going to see Rudy Gobert go at Joker tonight? No, I guess not, probably.
Probably not. I've got my eyes on Peyton Watson, though. He's a real mystery. He was a shocking pick. Calvin Booth, I know, is really high on him, really believes in the upside that he sees from him. He's a guy that I just don't feel like I know his game very well. He averaged just 3 points per game at UCLA last year, the lowest of any player ever taken in the first round. So he's the guy I'm most interested in tonight, to get a look at him and just figure out what is it he's good at.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts on it as well. Summer League, always fun to kind of see the prospects. And hey, say hi to my friend David Roddy over there, would you? I mean, he had a good game last night.
For sure, man. My guy. Yeah, love that guy.
He's a great dude. 16 points from him. I mean, he might transition pretty quickly at this next level as soon as next season. We'll see.
Yeah, he's in a good spot for it. They develop talent well over there, so I'm excited to see it.
All right, man. Great to hear from you there, too. So we really appreciate you jumping aside and giving us some time. But to love what you do, love your Nuggets coverage. Let's keep doing this. We'd love to keep making you a fixture on the program, and outstanding work from you as always.
Always available, man. Give me a call.
All right, my man. There he is, Adam Mares of DNVR Nuggets. Yeah, the Nuggets going out against the Timberwolves tonight. 7 o'clock, Jades. You can't bet. Who am I talking about? The Nuggets are -2.5. If you're betting on Summer League, okay? If you're betting on Summer League, you have a problem. You have a problem, okay? Give me a call. We'll talk about it. I'm going to leave it there. 12:49 the time. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Should Mike Shanahan be in the Hall of Fame? You might not like my answer when we come back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. There we go.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
/12:53, welcome back on the Rocks Liquor. We're shouting out there, free tasting today at 4 o'clock, just a few hours away. The great folks from Heart Distilling in Windsor will be on hand for the tastings. That's on the Rocks Liquor. While you're there, pick up the game beer of the week from Breckenridge Brewing. It's a Mountain Beach Sour. Tell them I sent you. Hear from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Jades, it's time. Give me something. Give me an interesting fact. Jades, fact of the day.
So today,
you know, we got little beep boop bops.
Oh yeah,
yeah, well, I gotta.
You know we do, Brady.
That signals it.
We've always done it.
It's still a new segment we're working. There it is.
There we go.
There, now I'm ready. Okay. I wasn't ready.
Here we go. So today I got one that kind of mixes in some of the college stuff and the Hall of Fame stuff we've got going with.
Okay.
With you know our guy Shanahan.
Yeah.
It's a Barry Sanders stat from his college days.
Love Barry Sanders.
In 1988,
okay,
he averaged 238.9 rushing yards per game.
Wow.
That's crazy. That was enough for him to get the Heisman Trophy. He was the Heisman winner. And that was 2,850 games or 50 yards in 12 games.
Where did he went to Oklahoma State? Yeah.
Yep.
Jeez.
And the next closest to him all time averages still 26 yards less per game.
Who's the next closest to him? Do you have that?
I do not.
Nah, it
I just
matter.
Know that it was 26.
Dude, less. Barry Sanders,
he's a beast.
Was just so good.
Is he the best to ever do it? He's up there.
He's got to be. He's definitely up there. I mean, he was on such a bad team that, as we know, Detroit, how many superstars have they? Just the three off the top of my head, Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson and Matt Stafford. I mean, those three guys, I don't know if Stafford's a Hall of Famer, but Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, I mean, those are some sensational players that they just wasted. If Sanders would have been on a better team, he only played, how many years did he play? He only played for like 9 years, didn't he? I mean, it was short.
It was short.
He was just so much fun to watch, man. I mean, I was really getting into football, too, when he was coming to fame, when he was really, really busting it. And he was just a blast to watch. I'm a big fan, as you see, as you know. I like to watch entertaining players. Guys, that, you know, like the Lamar Jacksons of the world. They're just fun to watch. Sanders, the way he would run 20 yards back and then still find a way to get 60 yards on a carry, I mean, it was just, he was so elusive. Certainly one of the greats. It's close to my, I mean, if I had to say it, he's probably my number one. You know, if he would have played longer, he would have had more stats and stuff. But he's got to be up there for me, for sure. I mean, if not number one, certainly close. I mean, probably just number one.
So I never got to see him, obviously. But who in today's game would you say is most comparable?
Is anybody that like that? Is anybody? I mean, because when you look at the best players in the NFL, the best running back in the NFL is Derrick Henry, and he's nothing like what Barry Sanders was. Just two totally different runners. I mean, guys that are just that elusive. Dalvin Cook kind of, but I mean, not even close. I don't know that. Can you say anybody is that close to how elusive Barry Sanders was? There's nobody really in the game right now like that. 12:57 the time. Second hour coming up next. Today in the AFC West, we're talking wide receivers. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Just 6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, Good Friday afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome in. It's the whole show. It's your neighborhood-friendly whole show, powered by Peter C. What is that? James, what's been going on lately, dude? I've been saying things wrong lately. I don't know what it's... Is it July? Is it I'm just, you know, phoning it in until we get to Broncos season? We got a lot to talk about. I just can't seem to get my words right.
I think you've just had a bad week. I mean, I think the holiday threw you off.
I think the holiday threw me off a little bit. You know, I've just had... It's baseball, right? It's a long season. You can have a bad week or two and still climb back in this thing. So, a couple of strikeouts, you know, a couple of flies to center field. I'm going to get this thing right. We'll get it going again. Just get a little single today. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, the best hitters don't slump for long.
Nah, I won't slump for too long, man. I won't do that. I felt bad for our boy, Coach Bruce Dick from Clark and the Coach. He predicted a Chris Bryant home run last night. He was like an inch away from it, man. I felt bad for him. I don't mess with prop bets. I just don't, because the odds of me hitting a prop bet, that's scary. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Jades, how you doing, man? You got your Rocky. You have all these, like, just interesting Rockies gear all the time. You got the All-Star Game uniform in today.
Yeah, I kind of like this one. I think it's one of the more unique All-Star Game ones, because I don't know if you guys remember, but last year the All-Star Game was supposed to be in Atlanta.
That's true. I
do. Stuff happened.
Apparently there was a lot of controversy surrounding that, apparently, right?
And stuff had happened, and they had already designed the jerseys. So they just reused the jerseys that were already designed. That's why it's like the blue and the red for the Braves colors.
That's interesting. Where did you get it? Where did you get that?
Well, my dad and I went down to the All-Star.
You bought it down there. What was that like? I mean, it was just crazy, wasn't it?
You have no idea. We didn't go to the All-Star game itself. It was just so much money for no reason, and they don't even really care. But we did go to everything else, like the Home Run Derby, MLB Play,
Sweet.
Ballpark, or whatever it was called, and like all the other festivities. And the Home Run Derby is just something so special.
Doesn't that just... And again, I know it's the All-Star game, but being down there, didn't you just get a sense of what the Rockies could be? I mean, you're a diehard Rockies guy. You're a baseball guy. Don't you agree? Okay, there was 500,000 fans, right, that went to the Avalanche parade. I thought it was a million. It's 500,000 on whatever guesstimation. I guarantee you, if the Rockies won a World Series, that would be more than double. More than double.
I'd
be over a million.
I mean, I know there's people in the community that have been waiting. I mean, there's people that have been giving up. So if it were to actually happen, the support they would have behind them would just be tremendous.
I've said this before. Like, my hierarchy of sports that I love, it goes football, basketball, baseball, hockey. I think a lot of people fit into that, to that side of things. Maybe they intertwine baseball and basketball. But I guarantee you, me saying that, if the Rockies were legitimate on a yearly basis, they were always in the playoffs and they're threatening, you know, every couple of years they're threatening to win a World Series, I guarantee you they would rival Broncos country. But we've never seen it, so nobody can argue with me on that, because we've never seen it. It's always been Broncos country. The Rockies have been to the playoffs 5 times. They had one miraculous year that was great, and it was crazy too, wasn't it? I mean, it's just absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I know, and I think you're right. I think that the fans just really haven't been given a fair chance to celebrate the Rockies.
They want to. I mean, look at how many people go to Coors Field, not like on a regular day, but if it's a 7 o'clock game on a Friday night, that place is lit up. It is the place to be, no doubt about it. I love Coors Field. Have you met anybody that doesn't love Coors Field?
No, I mean, in my opinion, it's the prettiest ballpark in baseball.
It's gorgeous. And the colors that surround Coors Field from the Colorado sunsets and all that stuff are second to none. And it's just in a really fun part of town. All that's missing is the baseball team. But I'm just, like, you're wearing that jersey, and it just makes me think of how crazy it was. And I know it's the All-Star game, but the Rockies could truly have that atmosphere on a daily basis if they could just find a way to be consistent, to find ways to get into the playoffs on a regular basis.
And I'm not saying that Monfort's doing something wrong right now. I mean, obviously we all have our own thoughts about him.
True.
Right now, it's not a window that you want to try to win. It's just not. You have the Dodgers and the Padres in your own division, and the Giants who are the Giants.
But I get your mentality because it's realistic. I just don't want it to come from Dick Monfort all the time. I do feel like that guy is like, yeah, the division's tough, and it's tough to pitch in Colorado, and realistically, we're a small market team, so you can only expect to be in the playoffs every 5 years. I don't want to hear that from my owner, do you? I mean, you can say it, I can say it, it's sports talk radio, but I don't want to hear it from the owner.
Yeah, definitely not. It's just kind of, I don't know, I feel like it's devaluing to the team itself, too. I mean, the morale in the clubhouse probably goes down if you hear stuff like that. Like, Chris Bryant, if he's going to start hearing that stuff put in his head, I mean, he's going to be like, so I'm here, but I'm not going to be built around.
Right. Well, and who the hell knows? I mean, I'm just hoping July can finish off and we're like in a conversation looking at the wild card spot. I don't know. The win last night against Arizona. It's a 4-game series, so certainly got to win this series, I believe, to start. You got to start moving now at this stage. There's no more, hey, they got to get, oh, okay, they can lose four here, but they can bounce back. It's July 8th. They are how many? 9 games out of the third wild card spot?
8, I believe.
So they're 8 games out. To catch up with 8 games, I mean, that can take a month. That could take you a month. And if the Rockies don't start now and they keep just, even if they break even this month and they're, let's say they're still 8 games under by the time we start August, I don't know that you're going to have enough time to squeeze in and find a wild card spot. And I know, again, I might be the only radio show host in the state of Colorado other than Tanner Schwent, even talking about the possibility of this, but the truth is, Jades, as much as we want to knock Dick Monfort, there's talent on this team. We haven't seen it all put together yet. I mean, Chris Bryant was the big addition. We've barely seen him. He just now hit his first home run. So, in fairness, nothing is coming together. Herman Marquez, you called it at the beginning of the season. He has not been very good. Nobody expected that. We believed in Marquez. I don't think anybody, whether your biggest Rockies critic or not, you looked at him and said, yeah, I liked the signing. He's solid. He's one of the better pitchers we've ever had, so let's lock him up. The bottom line is he's had a down year.
The pitching staff as a whole, I mean, there's been pieces that have shown promise here and there, but nothing's been consistent with the Rockies, and I feel like that's the biggest problem. I mean, in my opinion, going into the season, the Rockies should have been rivaling the Giants, who are 2 games back right now from the third wild card spot.
What's their record right now, the Rockies?
The Rockies are 36-47.
What are they on pace to win? We're halfway. Are we at the halfway mark? We're like right there.
It's right over.
Yeah, because we're always over the halfway mark when the All-Star game hits, like a couple weeks. What are you on pace to win?
I think it's like 71-ish.
Which is what I kind of predicted.
Mm-hmm.
I said that they'd be better than last year. Not a playoff team. But the thing of it is, survive this Arizona series, maybe split with San Diego, win Pittsburgh, you are in business. You are in business where at least, I mean, if you can get to a point where you're 5 games under by mid-August, there's room for a push there. And so win this series, and Arizona's 1 game in front of you, right? So win this series, leapfrog them, and we're at least talking about it.
If you can, there's 10 days until All-Star break. If you can at least weather the storm these next 10 days and go, I don't think they play every day. I think they have 8 games until All-Star break is what I think.
I'm looking at it right now. I think they do play every day.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say if you can go 7-3, that's going to be
7-3 would be, you'd be in business. If you go 7-3, you're in business.
I think that's where you have to be. I mean, I don't think you could do anything less than that.
Well, they get a good start last night by beating Arizona. Austin Gomber was pretty good. He gets the no decision, but Estevez comes in and gets it. And so that's the kind of game I think the Rockies, if they can keep that number down, the runs down, eventually this. I still believe in this offense. I mean, it was cool to see Randall Grichuk do his thing, man. I mean, he was He was good. That's what we've been wanting to see from him. Defensively, he's very skilled, but that's what we needed to see from him on the offensive side last night.
Well, and Randall Grichuk's just an underrated player across the league. I mean, when he was with the Blue Jays, he was still phenomenal. He just gets overlooked by Vlad and Biggio and Bichette, all the young stars.
Yeah, it's just I didn't even know we were going to go here today. But here we are, Jades. I just, again, looking at your all-star jersey there, it's like, man, we just had a parade in Denver for the Avs. And I'm not taking anything away from what the Avs did. Fantastic. I'm becoming the hockey guy, Jades. I'm signing autographs now as the hockey guy. It's been a blast. But I'm just telling you like it is. I'm in northern Colorado, bro. I see the baseball scene up here. And it's all over the place. It's all over the state. You'd get people from all over the state, probably from all over the region, coming to a Rockies parade. Because people are dying to see the Rockies do well. It could be more of a baseball state. I remember Rocktober. I don't know. What were you doing? Were you -8?
Yeah, I was 3, going on 4.
So, yeah, it didn't do anything. It didn't mean anything for you. But I bet your dad told you about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard all about it. 20 games and or 20 wins in 22 games.
The record
at that
time, it was just crazy. And again, the way they got there was nuts too. But once they got in the playoffs and swept all this, I mean, it was crazy. It was just crazy. All right, we got a lot to get to here. How about we jump over to the good, the bad, and the ugly from Thursday night, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, there it is. We just spent 20 minutes talking about the Rockies. They did get the win. Coming off of a sweep against the Dodgers in L.A. and bouncing back and beating the Diamondbacks 4-3 was absolutely huge. So the Rocks, I mean, it was huge for what it is. You know, as we're talking about the wild card picture, even though it's far-fetched at this stage, but it's a start in this month of July, just trying to, a short month, really, of baseball, as you have the All-Star break later in the month. I couldn't find two bad, ugly stories, Jade. So I'm just looking at this. Last night was last night the beginning of the David Roddy experience. Experience? Yes, experience. He was really good in his bench role against Utah. The Grizzlies win in Summer League 95-84. David Roddy played 19 minutes. He had 16 points, only one turnover, 5 boards, 1 assist. He was a plus 9 in the plus minus category. 4-for-4 from the free throw line, 6-for-10, very efficient. Didn't make a 3, but that's the kind of game that's going to churn some heads. So congratulations to David Roddy on a solid summer league performance last night over the Utah Jazz. All right, Jades, this was kind of a scary moment last night in Major League Baseball for the Padres. Oh, we don't. Okay, Profar collapsed as he was trying to walk off the field. You have it. Okay, let's hit it. It was scary.
Shallow left, long run. Look out! Abrams makes the catch, but cleats go into Profar. Abrams held on to the baseball, but Profar never stopped coming in, and the two collide.
Padres, that's the Padres' left fielder. Profar collapsed as he was trying to walk off the field after a scary collision. So the collision happens. He's trying to walk off. He can't do it. He was transported to the UC San Diego Health for further evaluation. No update was immediately available, but he must have just got hit in the exact wrong spot because he was a little queasy after they both went for that fly ball hit last night. 20 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, more on the college football scene and what potentially this is all going to look like at the end of the day. Also, we're going to have Adam Matez of DNVR Nuggets. We'll do a little Nuggets talk here on a Friday afternoon. It's never too soon to talk about the Mile High Crew, so we'll get to that later on in the program as well. Stick with us on a Friday. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.
want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
This is one of those songs. I mean, you can hear a lot of songs over and over again, and then it's like, ah, come on, like Queen, you know, I get over that. This is one of those, though, that you can just listen to over and over again. It's so good. Yes, Jade, you even like this.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Journey guy, but on the Rockies Rundown yesterday, we were asked Jerry, is Journey a top 10 80s rock band, yes or no?
What did Jerry say?
No, you have to answer first.
Top 10 80s rock band or top 10 rock band?
Let's do rock band as a whole.
No. Not for me.
They are
you
for me.
You know me. I'm a snob. I am when it comes to my rock music. Like I like some of the stuff that people don't like. So, you know, I have a like, you know, not a lot of people are going to put Soundgarden in as their top 10 rock bands. I'm going to put them there. So, you know, it is what it is, bro. I'll admit that I'm not qualified to do any kind of music show or any kind of top because I'm a snob. I like what I like and that's it. And everybody else's music is just absolute garbage. It just is. Like country music. Do you like that stuff?
Not traditional country. I can't listen to it. It's so annoying.
But you like the new stuff?
I like pop country.
I don't like that either. That's just dumb.
No, I like pop country a lot.
it's stupid. See what I mean? And my wife drives her crazy because she likes all different sorts of music. My kid loves all different sorts of music. And then I'm like, that's it. Speaking of that, like, did you hear that Metallica is now trending in the charts now? Suddenly? I don't know because I have not seen the episode yet. So no spoilers. But it's Stranger Things. Like, has some kind of crazy scene with a Metallica song in it, and now people are going nuts for it. And so I tweeted last night, I was like, it took Stranger Things to get you guys to trend Metallica? And, you know, but I don't care. Whatever it takes, join the club. But that's, and then I asked Jades during the break, I said, are you a Stranger Things guy? And you said, no, I'm very disappointed. I never have been disappointed with you, ever, Jade, since we've known each other. I'm hurt by that one. Such a great show. Go binge it. I envy you right now because you have all of those episodes in front of you. You have your whole life to live of Stranger Things watching. It's amazing. I do envy you.
yeah, Master of Puppets is number 7.
That was the song? Okay, I've been really trying not to look at any Stranger Things stuff because I don't want to get spoiled. I think I've watched 4 episodes. All I saw was certain Metallica song is now trending in the top 25 charts or whatever because of Stranger Things. I guess they're blowing records up, dude. Like everybody's watching it. It's crazy. All right, the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Should Mike Shanahan be in the Hall of Fame? That is fun discussion because we're at that point now where, you know, we talk about who the semifinalists are. Shanahan's in the mix. Holmgren's in that mix. The list of players that are in, Randy Gradishire, Bronco. Dan Reeves is in that mix as well, former Bronco. Clay Matthews Jr., Tommy Davis, Chuck Howley, Otis Taylor, Sterling Sharp, Shannon Sharp's brother. Mark Clayton, Stanley Morgan. I'm just reading names here, Jades. Not a lot of big names stick out. Not a lot of, as far as players, a lot of older players maybe that I just wasn't, you know, familiar with. But the list of coaches that are in this thing, you know, man, there's a bunch of different coaches. Holy cow. But Dan Reeves is certainly in there. Should Mike Shanahan be a Hall of Famer? We're going to talk about that. Go vote. That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Should Mike Shanahan be in the Hall of Fame? Is it as obvious as everyone thinks? You know my rule. You know my Hall of Fame rule. If it isn't obvious, and you have to go look at stats and all that stuff. Wow, 75% Hooligans say no. Saying no at this point. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. I can't imagine our Broncos guys have got a hold of that yet. So check that out. All right, 31 minutes after the hour, Adam Mares of DNVR Nuggets. Coming up next, let's talk about what this depth chart looks like for the Nuggets. Don't go anywhere. But first, we need to get the latest on the local Sports Flash.